Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. This episode is about flirting and possibly hooking up with geeks. My name is Violet Blue. I'm a sex author, sex educator, erotica editor, blogger, tech columnist for CBSI on TechBoiler, and much more. If you want to find out more about me or find more cool stuff that I do, please visit my website tinynibbles.com or follow me on Twitter at Violet Blue. This episode is the audio version of a Flirting with Geeks cheat sheet I've put together for Tech Conference South by Southwest Interactive 2011 in conjunction with my talk, Sexual Survival for Geeks. To find more of the free materials I put together for sexy geeks, including the text version of this podcast, visit thetotalflirt.com/southbysexy. That's thetotalflirt.com/sxsexy. This URL is entirely mobile-friendly, so you can check it out on your phone, and that includes the safer sex charts that I put together. Here you'll find the text version of this podcast, as I mentioned, sex emergency resources for South by Southwest attendees of all genders and orientations, and three slices of explicit geeky erotica. This resource also includes Austin sex resources, from where you can buy condoms, to finding the morning after pill, getting tests, and finding serious help if you need it, which we hope that you don't need it. But if you or a friend does get sexually assaulted at South by Southwest, you can find help and advocacy on this page. You'll also find the ingredients for a geek sexual survival kit and a special discount code just for sexy geeks at babeland.com. Hint, it's my name, Violet Blue. And you can find my nerdy sex gear picks at babeland.com/violetblue. So this podcast is the cheat sheet for flirting with geeks. I know some of you might be thinking, why, Violet, why? Well, it just so happens that quite a few of us tend to be attracted to members of the herd that some might consider shy, introverted, geeky, or nerdy, even socially dysfunctional mad scientist types. Hot! Well, some of us may think that a person who obsesses over knowing every detail about overly specific subjects might be OCD. The fact is, this quality happens to make them some of the most knowledgeable, dedicated, and skilled lovers on the planet. Think about it. Not just the planet, but it could possibly be the universe. So, I've got seven really good reasons to date a geek. Just in case you need further confirmation about your decision, interest, fetish, obsession, and attraction to geeks. I don't know about you, but I get so sick and tired and disgusted with all the women's and men's magazines that depict geeks as shut-ins and gross and dudes in the basement and smelly and all of this just total bullshit about what geeks are like. I don't think that anyone should believe the hype about shut-ins and social skills. Geeks will obsess about their fitness and organic foods just as much as their latest coding project. Sure, some geeks are just as douchey as their over-macho or bitchy Buffy counterparts, but the hot ones can be, I think, the yummiest breed around. And geeks of all genders, they defy stereotypes. In case you didn't get the memo, smart equals hot. So, if you're lucky enough to snag a geeky date, here's what comes with all those tasty brains. Number one, geeks love media and many love serialized storytelling. You'll finally have someone to take you to the movies, a lot, and a date that will be surprisingly game to see all kinds of films in a theater or snuggled under blankets with popcorn. Number two, geeks have spent a lot of time observing everyone, including jerks they might be compared to. This means they don't need to overcompensate by pretending you don't matter, and they know that there's nothing to be gained by being insensitive or acting like a stereotype. Geeks often have tech tricks for remembering everything, and are most likely, for instance, if you're a lady that wears lingerie, they might be most likely to make a list of your lingerie sizes on their smartphone for when they want to get you a little treat. Number three. Geeks are way into sex. Have you noticed this? They study it because it's unknown and forbidden, of course. Because they like to learn about things before doing them, you can bet your porn stash that they've taken the time to learn about sex. Online, not on Jersey Shore. And geeks know the difference between fantasy and reality, making them much more prone to honesty in monogamy and non-monogamy, and also sweetly smart about their kinks. Nerds don't just geek out on sci-fi and technology, after all. Number four. People who are geeky get excited about all kinds of passions. While many can be initially shy, once you get going, you'll probably have such great conversations, you'll watch the hours fly by, and you'll feel like a giddy teenager crushed out on talking about, well, everything. Reason number five, which is really important. Geeks are ready for the zombie uprising. Seriously. Number six. Geek boys love strong, independent lust objects and dig those who have ideas, obsessions, and passions. Geek girls love hotties who have their own ideas, obsessions, and passions, and enjoy potential hump mates who are bright and slightly devious. They'll generally seek to engage with you about whatever's on your mind. They make perfect allies, so you can form your own army of two. But unlike the gender stereotype babies of the world, they won't later expect you to become their parents. Number 7. Because so much false bullshit about geek hygiene is published in magazines and culture, many nerds take exacting care of themselves. So don't be surprised if they only wear certain things, prefer their own shampoo, and are sensitive about their appearance. Also, don't be surprised if they ask you what type of ladyscape or manscape turns you on. Seriously. However, these subsets of the species are much tougher to read. They really are. Geeks pay closer attention to certain details and are hyper-aware. They obsess about details, but they still can't tell when someone is flirting with them. Flirting with geeks is nothing short of a challenge. They really, really, really need their friends to yell, "Hey, that hottie is flirting with you!" in their ear while you're standing there in order to accept the signals they're getting. And they often think that the signals that they're getting is about the person standing next to them. That's the thing. I mean, geeks are just not accustomed to being the target of attraction. And sometimes when they are the target of attraction, they freak out because they haven't thought about what they're going to do with sexual opportunity. In geek scenes generally, and I'm going to make a sweeping gender stereotype, which I loathe to do, that's loathe, not love, but I'm going to make it because it's an observation that I think is fairly accurate. And in heterosexual geek scenes, women and girls usually make the first move. And that's because the girls are, well, they're efficient. And also because male heterosexual geeks are often really worried about being that guy, and they're reluctant to be aggressive. However, once they know it's okay to be aggressive, they can be wonderfully aggressive. So the hot geeklet could be going out of their mind to get you alone and hanging on your every word, but their excitement translates into obsessively folding a napkin until it disintegrates, or hunching over on their phone, or answering your queries with nervous little grunts. So take all of this into consideration when you're flirting with geeks, because it's not like flirting with other people, it's really slightly different. And if they're quiet, remember that the quiet people are the ones that are usually obsessively recording and taking note and like observing everything. And if you get a chance to flirt with geeks and hook up, it's really worth it. These special creatures are very worth experimenting with. So with that in mind, I'm going to give you some geek flirting do's and don'ts. Do definitely prep for conversation openers and conversation topics. That means think ahead a little bit. So think about some things that you might think would be good conversation openers, such as some event that happened during the day or something that happened in the news. Something that you can both talk about that doesn't necessarily have to do with either of you, but can be sort of like a third-party thing that you can talk about. Definitely make yourself a little system. It's a hygiene self-check system about every hour, so where you check your teeth, check your breath, check your hair, etc. And what I mean by that is about every hour, even if you are the kind of person that needs to set an alarm, check to make sure there's nothing stuck in your teeth, check to make sure you've got a breath mint or that your breath is totally cool, that your hair is fine, etc. And that may mean just, you know, making a bathroom break or something along those lines. It is well worth it. Do definitely also try to make the same type of system for your body language. Why? Well, when you find yourself in a situation where you find someone that you're interested in, you don't necessarily want to be hunched over and leaning down and having body language that communicates to them physically that you're closed. The science of body language is actually really amazing, and what you do with your body really communicates to other people subconsciously the message that you're trying to send. And this is most important when you find someone that you're attracted to. So what you're going to want to do is, to attract someone, specifically the person that you're interested in, is face them. You're going to keep your back straight and your shoulders open. You're going to look approachable. Basically, you're going to have your face up if you can. Even if your phone is out, make sure that your body is facing them. Make sure that your body is focused to them and open toward them. Also, try to keep a smile on your face. Don't cross your arms. Try to keep your legs straight, as in, you know, don't cross them too tightly. Just relax generally. Also relax your mouth too, because when you have your lips really tight, it can mirror, like people will mirror the way that you're sending your signals, and it will make them feel tense too. So strange but true, this all sounds kind of random, but it's actually something that really works. Trust me, try an experiment where you stand there hunched over and you stand there facing away and you stand there closed off, and then you open up and you turn and you look at the person. And just see what type of reaction that you get. I think that you'll find that people will treat you a lot differently, and they'll be a lot more interested in who you are and what you have to say. Another do on this list, do compliment their appearance. Do not be afraid to give them compliments, like, I like their shoes, or you have a great style, or anything that just lets them know that you're appreciating the way that they look and the time and the care that's gone into making themselves look attractive to you. When you're talking to them, do be creative and try to tie a reason to contact them later with your conversation, like a book or a website or something that you want to send them. That's if you're flirting with someone that you really like and you want to keep flirting with them. When you are flirting with someone, don't ever flirt if you're not really interested, even if you're excited about getting an opportunity. What you're going to want to do is, a little bit into the conversation, decide yes, no, or maybe. And if it's yes, great, keep flirting. If it's no, get out of there. Give yourself an exit strategy and plan ahead. Do make exit strategies. And exit strategies can be anything from having a line like, I need to go to the bathroom, to, I'm sorry, I need to go check on my friends, or even DMing a friend of yours to say, hey, come save me, or hey, come rescue me. Just come up with a couple of exit strategies so that you can thank them very much and say that it was nice to meet them and excuse yourself, politely, of course. But again, if things are going really well, you can say, hey, you know, once you've asked them a couple of questions about themselves, like, oh, I know this book that you might like. I can't remember what the author is. Can I send it to you later, or can I at reply you? And things like that. And that will be a really nice way to be able to follow up with them. Another thing you can do if you want to see them later that night is ask them what's cool to do after this. So if you're at a South by Southwest party, you can be like, do you know what the cool parties are after this? Or, hey, where are you guys going after this? Because we're trying to find somewhere to go to. Or, have you guys heard of what's going on cool tomorrow? When you talk to people, don't use pickup tricks, especially ones that rely on negative openers or insults. A lot of the so-called secret societies of pickup artists do a lot of gaming people based on their insecurities. And so they have elaborate systems of insulting people, and especially insulting women, until the women feel so insecure about who they are, how they look, that they feel like they need to win the attention of the person that's insulting them. And that never works out really well. You may hear like stories of these, you know, really immature guys totally scoring or racking up the points or whatever, but actually most of the time the stories that you hear from women are that these guys insult them and they're not into it and they can choose someone else who doesn't insult them. So don't use those pickup tricks that rely on negative openers or insults. And at the same time, also don't negatively tease your target. Teasing is fine and fun, but it's something you want to be really careful about when you're flirting because you don't actually know the person that well. Also, at the very end, don't get mad at them or yourself if you get rejected. Remind yourself that you're just there to have fun. Also, don't ask for personal contact information. That's a little confrontational. It's a little intense, especially for women and people who are generally targets when it comes to flirting and dating and things like that. Try to ask for public social media contact channels. So I'm going to give you a couple of flirt club tips. Flirt club number one is go to places where you will have something you can all relate to, like a meetup about your interests, an event you actually want to go to, a club with music you like, a bar that has something that makes you want to visit it for its own sake. These will actually all create really great ideas and ways that you can interact with total strangers, so that you all have some common ground. So speaking of making common ground and starting conversations, I'm going to give you a couple of opening lines that don't suck. So are you ready? I don't usually do this, but you have a really nice smile. Hey, can I get a female, male, can I get an opinion on something? Do you consider friending someone on Twitter or Facebook to be just friends, or does it mean much more? I saw you standing there and had to tell you that you look great tonight. Hey, somebody told me that they have great cocktails here. Is it true? You can also smile and tell them that they can't sit or stand where they're sitting or standing. Like, I'm sorry, you can't sit there. And then you tell them that you're joking and that you actually wanted to tell them that they look great. You can say, can I ask, you have a great style. What do you think of these shoes I'm wearing? If you're in a grocery store, you can pick up a can of cat food and say, have you tried this? It's so good. And then, of course, laugh. You can say, I just saw blank new movie. Have you seen it? If not, ask what they've seen recently. You can say, is your friend always so blank? Antisocial, funny, inquisitive, popular, drunk? I think if someone came up to me and asked, is your friend always so drunk? I'd probably be like, mm-hmm. And I'd laugh and want to talk to them. But when you're talking, definitely also make sure that you ask them about themselves and ask about their life. Asking people about themselves doesn't generally happen through the course of their own lives, and especially with other people who know them really well. And people love to open up and talk about themselves. When you're actually talking, change the tone of your voice and just deepen your voice slightly. So you can go from talking like this to slowing down your speech a notch or two and lower your volume a tiny bit. Or if you speed up the pace, don't be afraid to make silly jokes. Shy people are smarter than the rest, don't forget, and they'll appreciate your willingness to make fun of yourself and everyone else. Flirt club number two, make contact. You have to make contact. I command you, no matter how shy you feel, I command you to go out to a party and try to make contact with three hot people. People that you think are hot. So you go to a party and you pick three targets. And the reason that you pick just a couple is because I don't want you to be spreading your attention, your energy too thin. I want you to just be focused. And pick three people that you find are hot and plan to fail. This way you won't be afraid of rejection, but you may be surprised that you probably actually won't fail because you'll just be like, eh, fuck it. I'm just going to go make contact with three people tonight and that's it. I'll have met my goal, whatever. When you get the conversation going, again, get them to open up and relate to things that you agree with, especially if it's a feeling that they have about something, and give them opportunities to show you their personality during talking. One tip I have to turn flirting into dating is to find a piece of common ground and suggest a book, website, cafe, or store that keys into the common interest that you share. Then you proceed to flirt club number three. Get the preferred method of contact, email or text. And once again, no personal contact information because it's a little confrontational and it's just a lot easier to get something that's like, oh, Twitter handle or email, and not Skype or calling them on the phone because that's a very those are confrontational communication channels. But get their preferred method of contact for a specific reason, not to make a date or to meet, but to send them information about the common interest, that book, website, cafe, store, etc., etc. Then do it. Follow through. Do it the next day, in the afternoon or the evening. And don't start with, do you remember me? That's a little weak. It doesn't really work. It doesn't hook them in. Start with positives, like establish things. So start with things like, hope you guys had fun with the rest of your night. Wish I could have stayed. Here's that book we talked about. Great meeting you. So-and-so with the red shoes. Or Violet with the Android phone. Because adding a signifier to your name is optional, but it can be a really good twist. It can be something that really makes them remember you, and also can be something that could be you, something you both talked about and liked, and especially if it ties into your appearance, it'll make you a lot more memorable, and it'll be something that gives them a good memory of the time that you spent together and the time you spent talking. Another tip to turn flirting into dating: when you've met someone, remember that you are walking into their already busy lives. They have a whole life outside of you and that tiny interaction that you have. So don't expect and definitely don't demand immediate responses to calls, texts, or emails. Be casual, but, and this is key, if you're interested in someone, do not let more than 2 days go by without saying hi. It is the magic formula, I swear. Once 2 days goes by, it's like everybody loses interest. So 2 days is your limit. So don't let more than 2 days go by without saying hi, and don't just say hi, but say something about yourself or your day, and tie your statement to the circumstances under which you both met. Again, this ties them back to a positive memory of you and the time that you spent together. Like I said, nonverbal contact is the best and the least confrontational. You could email them saying, hey, so-and-so, how is your crazy, funny, intense thing that they told you about their daily life? Hey, Robert, how is your crazy work that you're trying to get finished for your whacked boss? You are definitely the most interesting person I've talked to all week. See? You say, hey, it's non-confrontational, you're not asking them for anything, you're relating to them, and you're giving them a compliment. This all creates common ground, establishes a rapport, and makes you stand out from the rest of the people. You also seem genuinely interested in them, which you are, and they're reminded of the good time you had together. Like I said, this is key. Flirt club number 4. So, if things progress after conversation or bond building over the common interest that you shared, invite them to something you are already going to be doing. It is not date time in the beginning. It is something a little bit softer. So you could say, hey, there's another meetup like the last one. I'm definitely going. Here are details in case you want to check it out. Ta-da! Gives them an opening to see you again, without making them feel pressured or chased or harassed or stalked or anything like that. You could also say something like, oh, FYI, there's an art show featuring that thing that they like at Fred's Gallery starting at 8 tomorrow night. I'm going, and I'll tell you if it's cool if you can't make it. Ta-da, open, casual, very nice. You can also say, hey, a bunch of us are going to go see blank movie that they might like at the Century at 9 p.m. You should come. That's it. So, again, don't start with a one-on-one date as the first thing. Make that the next thing you do together. So let me give you some social media follow-up tips. If it's someone that you just met, don't rush to friend them, especially if you rush to friend them on everything. Just don't overwhelm them with, oh my God, I found you, I found everything about you. It's a little much at first. Plus, you want to be something worth chasing. And also, if you friend them, and if you out-reply them, don't expect reciprocity. Like, don't expect them to mirror you exactly. Again, you're very new in their lives. If it's someone you already know, increase the communication slightly, but don't overdo it. My rule is no more than 3 of anything. Like the 2-day rule, the no more than 3 is really works. You'll see what I mean. So keep the rules of 3s. Keep to the rules of 3s. 3 at replies, no more than 3 at replies. Give them 3 messages, no more than 3 messages. And then 3 flirt methods. So if you're flirting with them, give it 3 attempts. If you think that they're interested in you but you're not sure, see if they repeat whatever they're doing 3 times. This is how you'll know that they want you. Make sure that you are light and non-sexual in your public social media contact. This is important. Again, you don't know what's going on with them and you don't know how they'll react to it. They may not be ready. They may have jealous exes. You don't know. Like I said earlier, when you text them or email in text messages in general, just don't just say hi. Say something about your day or tie it to the last time you saw them. Again, non-confrontational communication via digital media channels, very, very key. Don't ask to call them video chat or Skype. It's a little bit too much. Let them, if you're pursuing and if you think they're interested, let them be the one to open up that channel. Again, don't let more than 2 days of contact go by if you want to pursue the relationship. Well, if you have more questions, feel free to contact me. I am at Violet Blue on Twitter. I'm Violet at tinynibbles.com. That's nibbles like little bites. And I want to thank you for listening to Open Source Sex. This audio track is the audio version of the text Flirting for Geeks 101 that I have at thetotalflirt.com/southbysexy, which is part of all the resources that I put together for South by Southwest attendees of all genders and orientations, and it also includes explicit geeky erotica. All these materials are free, they're all ad-free, and I hope that you like them. I also want to thank Beyblend.com for all of the cool stuff that they've done, including helping me put together a geek sexual survival kit, which you'll find detailed at thetotalflirt.com/southbysexy. You'll find my nerdy sex gear picks at Beyblend.com/violetblue. You can get 10% off all of your orders until the end of the year at Beyblend.com if you use my name, Violet Blue, when you check out. Cool stuff. Free. Yay! So, thanks for listening. If you liked this podcast, please come check out more Open Source Sex. It's at opensourcesex.org. This podcast is a combination of nonfiction sex ed and explicit, dirty, filthy, delicious erotica. The erotica you won't find in my iTunes version of Open Source Sex podcast. Why? Because they're prudes, and it's pretty much that simple. So if you want to listen to the rest of this podcast and get all the free audio erotica goodies, go to opensourcesex.org. And I want to thank you for listening to Open Source Sex. My message to all the sexy, hot geeks out there, stay hot. Thank you so much for inspiring me for so many years.